Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Fred. I am responsible. I am accountable. I am capable of assisting people to find their true voice and then deliver it effectively into the world around us. With 40 years in mental health, 32 of them as a psychiatrist, and then a massive amount of conversations, including podcasting and expert speaking, keynote speaking, I have the opportunity to really see the magic that it takes to find one's authentic self and then deliver it effectively into the world. And if you're like me, you can see that now more than ever, that's what's called for. So today is that day. Now is that time. Come forth. Join me in the broadcast. You'll see on the other side of this at True Voice with Dr. Fred. Sam, what's happening, man?
Totally. I'm hearing a gangster rap remix of that intro song now. Now I can feel it. It's a do-do-do, do-do-do. And then it just needs, there needs to be a backbeat that just comes in like, that would sort of spice things up a little bit.
Yeah,
I've come forth to be here with you today.
A gangster backbeat could be something that works. Can you talk to Don and Doug and get me a gangster backbeat for the next show, Tech, please? I know.
Yeah, we need a gangster rap backbeat.
He's going to go that way. He just told me he's going to do it. So that's good. All right. Great contribution.
You got that cleared up.
No, not only do we got that cleared up, I don't think there's any way we're going to get actually higher than the peak we're at right now, even with a tremendous guest. So part of me is wanting to delay for a third week. Talking to Michael, I know he's been working hard, but we just figured out how to change the intro to gangster rap. And I think at this point, we really got to look at whether or not we should just call it for the night or should we just venture into seeing what Michael can bring? Because I mean, I hear he's a good guest. He's an interesting dude. I've talked to him a couple times. He's got lots of good stuff going on, but Sam, you know, sometimes you just got to, you got to keep what's behind door number two.
If you're looking for help with gangster rap, you invited the wrong guest on.
Oh, see what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. Oh, gosh.
It's going to be off vibe then, huh? Oh, shit.
All right. So listen, we got to meditate on this one. Gosh, I wish we had another commercial. Okay. I think I know how we're going to do this. Okay. Anyways, this is Dr. Fred. Welcome to True Voice with Dr. Fred. And I'm here with my wonderful co-host, Sam Morris. And this is about our 20th episode, actually, which is amazing. Sam and I have done episodes in this True Voice with Dr. Fred podcast. We have a couple other podcasts that we played with. Sam was a guest on my podcast about 2 years ago in Welcome to Humanity. And he was also a co-leader in Late Welcome to Humanity podcast. And then we did something called Insanity, where we interviewed some very, very powerful people, had conversations with some beautiful, powerful musicians, artists, and philosophers, frankly, at a world-class level. And those are going to be released, actually, in the next several months. So look out for those. And now, over the last few months, what we've got going is right here on the BBS, where Sam and I have been co-hosting this True Voice with Dr. Fred. And one of the things that we were looking at back in the day, Sam, we were looking at a few different names for how to do this. The Wizard and the Warrior is one that comes to mind. I guess you were the warrior and I was the wizard, as I recall. Can you speak to that? How the hell did that happen?
We're both a little of both, you know. We're both.
We got echoing over there, Michael, on you. There you go, Michael. Whatever you got, if you got two devices, do whatever you can before you come on. Yeah, we have a little bit of both. The wizard and the warrior. And tell us a little bit about what do you do, Sam? Why are you like? What's your point? What's your function?
I don't have a point. I'm just here, navigating three-dimensional reality in some sort of way where I'm trying to make it out as I go, like the rest of us. Hopefully, I never have too much of a point, because I suppose if I have too much of a point, that would probably prevent me from engaging with people in the authentic way that I want to engage with people. So I suppose that is my point.
There you go.
To engage authentically with people and try not to have too much of a point, but try to remain curious and believing in something beyond the mundane.
All right.
And
yeah, I'm with you.
Continually coax that out of myself and coax that out of others and have interesting conversations that ultimately lead to this experience of being a human being, being as interesting and engaging as possible.
Well, that seems like a noble non-point to be sporting around with you. So I'll be glad to endorse that point. It seems like the point is to not have a point, of course, except there again, now you have a point not to have a point. And that the whole thing, fuck, man, I feel like I'm just losing it. Like, I'm not sure how we're going to get through the rest of the show. Oh, here's the thing. I think that if this
add something, Dr. Freddick, because I had an ingenious idea about if you wanted to rename the show, because you were talking about names before.
Yeah.
You could really go with something like The Bald and the Beautiful. And the two of you could fight it out as to which role either of you take.
Right. That's it. The Bald and the Beautiful works. I don't mind that. That's kind of hot. So, Michael, now that you've crashed the party, we should probably introduce you. Let's tell our audience a little bit about Michael. Well, Michael and I met in a small room, I believe, inside of the metal community, the men's growth and development community that Sam and I also met in, and there was a synergy immediately. Michael's up to some really great stuff, and he has a beautiful story about how he got to be who he got to be, and then who he is now and what he's headed towards. And it became very clear to me that he would be an entertaining, educational, and fun and intelligent guest to have. I'm stretching a little bit. Let's go with at least 3 out of 4.
Let's not hype it up too much, all right? Low expectations. I'm an overachiever.
Okay, no expectation. So that's what it is. And Sam, I guess you had never met Michael. Is that right for the most part?
It was the first time. Great to meet you now, Michael.
I think I'll just...
You as well.
Yeah, we're just going to get right off to finding out a little bit about who is this Michael Dash. And Michael, when people ask you, like, how did you get to be who you are? And welcome to the True Voice Show.
Thank you.
When people ask you how you got to be who you got to be, what's the number 1, 2, and 3 things in your past that you think, delivered you to be who you are now with the deep passion that you have, and which we'll get into momentarily?
I mean, well, the first thing that comes to mind is grit, determination, resilience, which has led to authenticity for me.
Yeah.
And, obviously a variety of a whole bunch of shit has happened, and you can curse on this show, right?
No, fuck no, man.
No fucking cursing. I knew it. But, when you're from Jersey, it's like you're born with a fucking spoon in your mouth, not a spoon in your mouth. This just happens when you're from Jersey. Yeah. But really resilience is the biggest, badge that I wear, because we're all going to get knocked down in life, and most of the time it's in different ways, right? And some of the times it's in similar ways, but it's really not about like, oh my God, I got, this happened to me and that happened to me and this happened to me. It's about, okay, what can I learn from this experience? How can I assure that I grow moving forward? And how can I actually make this negative reality that I'm perceiving into something positive and accelerate from there. Yeah. And, I had 20 years of addiction. I had a bad gambling addiction starting at 10 years old. I gambled like every day, like even at 10, because my dad was an entrepreneur. So I had money because I worked for my dad, 10, 11, 12. And all the guys in his warehouse would take bets from me. So dad would be paying me, and then I'd be walking to the back of the store and giving it to his other workers. So they would bet for me. They would take me to the racetrack, all this stuff. So I developed a bad gambling habit, which turned into me being a bookie. And then I got involved in drugs, and I was dealing drugs in college. I never knew that my first foray into entrepreneurship would be as a bookie and a drug dealer, but that's really what it was.
Yeah. Well, I was a doctor, so it's very similar jobs. And, we really share a lot there in the bookie and drug dealing situation.
There are some parallels there.
And I really want to take a look at, you talk about grit, determination and resilience. And I have to tell you that Sam and I, and Sam more than me, has spoken about this word resilience on a number of occasions. So I'm going to pass the mic to Sam so that we can let Sam get to know you a little bit and really let Sam interview, or Sam, I really like for you to dig into what's at the heart of this man who's now clearly, you can see clearly, like locked and loaded into making a difference in this world and making a deep and real contribution to men and women in this world. And, you know, he's coming with a loaded history that has him now alchemizing and transmuting it into a direction that hopefully will make a positive difference before we have to leave into another dimension.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting. And I'm curious. I've got so many questions, but I'm curious about sort of was there a rock bottom? There must have been a rock bottom in this process. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people have this rock bottom story. I have like so many rock bottoms, but
you just kind of got skimmed along the bottom, like boom, 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 boom for a while.
I would say the lack of consciousness in my life at the time prohibited me from understanding that that was even a rock bottom.
Exactly. Mm. That's great.
Mm-hmm. And I think that that's probably true for pretty much anyone who experiences a rock bottom experience. It's only in hindsight that you look back and see that it actually was a rock bottom. I don't think it initially expresses that way. It's one is so in it at that time. So,
but I could, if you want me to speak.
Yeah. I'm curious. I'm curious. Like some of the moments that you had, describe some moments that, that stand out that.
So I was arrested twice.
Okay.
I mean, I was the CEO of a company that I helped build with my partner, with my ex-business partner, I should say. And I was running the company and I got arrested for a DUI. And then I got arrested for possession of this GHB, this substance.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think that would be rock bottom, but it wasn't, because I kept doing this GHB substance and I was addicted to it. So those are two examples. I mean, I sat in a jail cell for 24 hours, the longest 24 hours of my life. And I think it was a disservice to myself that I was able to bail myself out and keep it a secret from everybody. Nobody knew that I had been arrested twice. And, you know, I was in Utah at the time, and they have these companies. These are the lowest scum type companies on earth, in my view, only my view, that obtain mugshots from the police department and then post them online. And then if you want them removed, you have to call them up and pay them, and then they'll remove them. That's their whole business model. So every day I was like,
that's quite a racket
running through me, that like my employees, this Utah community, which I'm not from, I moved there, you know, is going to find out that, that I'm running this, I'm staffing all these companies for them. And then, you know, I'm arrested, but somehow my picture never popped up. So I was super fortunate, and I kept it a secret. I told like two or three people for years and years and years. I never told.
And when are we talking about now?
So we're talking about 6 years, 7 years ago.
Okay.
And then 10 years ago. So the first one happened 10 years ago, and then 7 years ago. And those were two times where you would think that's absolute rock bottom. But those aren't the only rock bottoms, because like before that, the suicidal thoughts with the gambling. So I've been clean from gambling for 17 years now. That was the first addiction, the first major hurdle in my life. I went to Gamblers Anonymous and it changed my life. And I worked the program for several years, And then I was leading the program. Before I went to Gamblers Anonymous, there were several days that I was this close to swallowing a bottle of Vicodin or a bottle of Ambien and just ending my life. In debt up to my eyeballs, running from bookies, So all those things were rock bottoms, all of those. But again, I was so delusional because it wasn't one addiction I was dealing with. I had this gambling addiction was my main addiction. But then I started introducing all these drugs into it. And then it just convoluted everything. And when I stopped gambling and got a hold of that, I was still doing drugs. So it wasn't for several years later that I got a handle on the drug issue.
So it sounds like a big part of the problem is you were able to do this somewhat in isolation without really being accountable to anyone and without being actually seen and called out for what you were doing. Like when you were saying that the your name didn't pop up, your picture didn't pop up, in a way that was actually unfortunate, because then at least maybe someone might have seen it and called you out on your behavior, but you were able to hide from yourself through that. Yeah.
100%. And I was leading a double life. I mean, you know, I put a suit on and go to work during the day and act like I was this person. But then at night, like especially during the week, I would basically I'd be popping Adderall all day. Then I'd be coming home and smoking weed all night and isolating myself. And then on the weekends, I had this bar, so I'd be drinking, boozing, doing drugs, all this other stuff. I was always functional because the number one motivator for me on over all that was money. All those addictions, the first addiction was money. I was addicted to money. I was addicted to accumulating it. I was addicted to just more, not for a purpose, not for a reason, not for an intention, just to keep up with the Joneses type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So money, gambling, drugs, you know, I made sure that whatever I did, that I was kicking ass on my job because I couldn't live that lifestyle without doing really well professionally. Mm-hmm. So it didn't get involved in those things. If that makes sense, that's how I was able to, you know, it's like a functioning alcoholic. You don't know they're an alcoholic and they go to work and they have a bottle in their draw and they're drinking all day, but you have no idea because their normal is being induced with alcohol. That's how their baseline normal is.
Right.
And that was the same for me with the money.
So somewhere here, there's a point at which your life branches out and you start going in a more positive direction. What instigated that?
Well, I was, it was back in 2006. I was running a company that was running me, basically. I was in a six-year legal battle with my ex-business partner. So add that to the mix of everything I just described. And I was addicted to multiple substances. I was disconnected from who I was. I didn't really know me. I didn't know me. And I was in a lot of pain. And I'm in this entrepreneur group, and somebody posted in our Facebook group about this retreat in Bali. And I just saw the retreat in Bali and I said, I want to go. I clicked on it, like they screened me and I went, not because it was a retreat, but because I wanted to go to Bali. So I didn't even know what the retreat was about. All of a sudden I'm in this personal development retreat. They called it a business accelerator, but it started shifting. It was the first time I openly admitted in public how much pain I was in. It was 30 strangers in there. And I basically told them how much pain I was in from the gambling, from the addiction, to the drugs, from this lawsuit. The lawsuit sucked the life out of me. And I was willing to try anything. I ended up, these two speakers were talking about flow consciousness and talking about being able to manifest things in their life and all these synchronicities that were happening and all this stuff. And, you know, I thought it was bullshit because I'm from Jersey. We don't talk like that. And sure, we don't really believe in that stuff. I'm sure. Like manifestation. I'm like, no, it's called you work hard and good right. Shit happens to you. I'm
like, we got one guy from Jersey. We got one guy from Detroit and we got one guy from Maine here. I think that the whole manifestation thing came late in life for all of us.
Yeah. Yeah. They're talking about synchronicity. And I'm like, there's no such thing as synchronicity. It's called coincidence. Like shit happens. Right. So I wasn't a believer in all of it, but I was willing to try anything. So I took this course and it was like a 10-week course and we worked on journaling all our limiting beliefs. Then we were doing tapping, we were doing EMDR, and this is all foreign to me, but I made a promise for the first time in my life. I would not judge anything and I would just do it and I would see what happened. And that commitment that I made to myself started a slow turnaround. And things, it didn't happen right away, but things started to shift for me. My mindset started to change. And I was able, you know, after I started that course, I think like within a year, I was able to get out of this lawsuit that was just never ending and settle this lawsuit, sell my business, and basically start over.
Amazing. Fred,
yeah,
when was the first time manifestation started to come into your lingo?
Yeah, I think it's actually right around the same years as Michael here. I just think that there's, you know, 2006 was a really rough year for me, and my whole world got spun around, turned around, and I spent some time in forced rehab myself, even though I hadn't used drugs or alcohol for a little more than 4 years at that time. There was a, I was getting backed up and moved around and shoved around, and I was already in AA, and I was doing, you know, I think AA was where I could start seeing this magic, this stuff that would happen to people, these leads that people would do from the front. You know, the first couple leads I heard that were like stories from other planets, I'd be like, that shit didn't even happen. You know, I'd just watch it and that didn't even happen. And then each and every night there'd be a lead that were, there'd be more manifestation in these very, very genuine, authentic stories of life turnarounds like Michael's having, like just fierce mofos who had this life going to hell so quickly, who then had this moment of turnaround and then synchronicity and, you know, whether it be through a higher power or through sobriety or through a new awareness or through this concept of manifestation. The same force that was spiraling them to, and me, frankly, to early demise or to self-destruction, if not taking out a bunch of people with me, just began at the whole idea that this force could be spiraled in a positive direction, you know, in a positive, like contributing direction. Became a, it became something I became aware of in like 2006, 2007, and slowly but surely. And now, it's a daily part of my conversation. It's not like it's woo woo, you know. I know how to destroy shit. Still, I could torch. I can torch this same power when turned inside out is just as destructive as it's ever been, and I am completely capable of causing massive messes internally and externally, but, and I have a capacity to surrender to this notion of, you know, many different ideas of law of attraction or, you know, creating what I say or taking, you know, taking the lowest part of my, you know, grievous or egregious experiences and then bringing them to the daylight now and making a positive contribution. So there's a massive, like, you know, on the one hand, I'm ready to sort of say, whoa, dude. And on the other hand, I'm getting, oh yeah, that was me too.
First of all, I can verify that you can destroy shit because I saw you destroy your Volvo right out in my driveway.
I did. So I backed right into his fucking
you
tree.
You are man. Able to destroy
destroyed my parents' Volvo when I was 18 years old. I got in a car accident. It destroyed the whole thing.
Well, now we got
that, Fred. We got so much in common.
We do.
I think the three of us have all destroyed Volvos, clearly.
Is yours a Volvo too? Yours is a Volvo? Your 1999's a Volvo?
Who? Me? What?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I mean, I've destroyed other Volvos.
Yeah.
That's sort of separate story. That's a different story. No,
yeah. I just wondered because that would have been a segue. We had to go.
No, that was a Nova. That was a Chevy Nova.
Okay.
Something that we're speaking to is interesting because if you look at manifestation simply through the lens of, you know, taking it out of the woo-woo and instead just looking at it as actions have consequences. You know, as simple as that.
Yeah.
If I, you know, if I take this pen and I write with it, I might be able to get an idea down on a piece of paper. If I take this pen and jab my eyeball with it, I'm fucked. And I have just destroyed part of my eyesight. So every action has some kind of a consequence. And really, the universe doesn't care whether it's a positive, negative consequence. It's just there is a consequence to every action that we take. And I think that, you know, if we want to really look at manifestation and take all of the sort of woo-woo out of it and understand it from a purely down-to-earth perspective, which I can appreciate you coming from Jersey and how that is your, you know, your natural way of seeing things. Same thing is true for me having grown up in Maine. Same thing is true for Fred having grown up in Michigan. It's like all three of those places are very down-to-earth, non-new agey places. But I think everyone can agree that the actions that we take have some kind of consequence in life. And it's really, manifestation is really directing that energy in the way that you desire, rather than unconsciously directing that energy in a way that you don't desire.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for me, manifestation is really a large part of it is speaking it and visioning it. Right. Mm-hmm. Like being able, like I do a bunch of Dr. Joe Dispenza stuff now, like mm-hmm. I'm going to his retreat in 2 weeks for my birthday.
Oh, nice. That's a good time. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Right after this epic race I do, I'll tell you about in a second, but it's like visioning whatever I'm looking to accomplish has already been achieved and bringing it closer to you. And Dr. Joe talks about this all the time, instead of chasing it. You know, I have this shirt called Chase Your Dreams, but I really don't believe that so much. I believe, yes, go after your dreams. You don't need to chase, though. Go after your dreams and manifest them by speaking about your vision, by speaking about what you want. The more you speak about, look, I want to open a retreat center right now, and I'll tell you how I got to that. But I want to open a retreat center. So I tell everybody I want to open a retreat center. And then I shift my words. I am opening a retreat center. Actually, I've already opened the retreat center. It's going to open in 2023. And all of a sudden, people are like, oh, wow, you know, we've been actually talking about doing something like that involving wellness and addiction recovery and blah, blah, blah. And it's led to all these conversations. It's led to me bringing it closer to me instead of me having to chase it.
Yeah.
Over and over and over.
Quantum versus Newtonian, as Joe says.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's a big part of it. Like I'm doing this. So one of the things that really helped me heal is like endurance type events. And so when I stopped gambling, and when you're an addict and you stop, all of a sudden you have huge chunks of time to fill. And you don't know how to fill them because you weren't living like a normal human, whatever that means, was actually living, right? So you don't know what to do. So for me, my last name's Dash. So, of course, I ran. So I started running and, you know, I ended up running 4 marathons and then I climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. Nice. I loved all of them. Now, fast forward, I haven't done anything like that in like, I don't know, five years. And so I committed to doing this race, which I'm doing in the 19th. So the 19th, the 21st, 10 days from today in Vermont, in Stratton. It's called 29029 Everesting. And Jesse Itzler's race. You climb, you hike up a mountain, Stratton, and then you take the gondola down and you hike the mountain and take the gondola down. And you do that continuously until you've reached 29,029 feet, which is the equivalent of Mount Everest, and you have 36 hours to complete it. So I've been dedicating my time to training for this thing. And whether I finish it or not, like just the whole training experience, the physical aspect of it, it has gotten me mentally stronger and allowed me to focus more. And that's why, you know, now I'm in the retreat business. And that's why my retreats focus on aligning physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual practice. Because I believe whether it's physical, spiritual, or emotional, it's all leading to us being stronger mentally.
Sure.
And strengthening our mental health.
That's awesome.
And I specifically focus on working with entrepreneurs at these retreats. But this can be taken, this type of work can be taken to addiction recovery, can be taken to like so many different.
It's universal.
It's universal.
Awesome. Michael, when we come back, I want to give you the mic, and you can tell us a little bit about this amazing retreat stuff. And frankly, I don't know if we have the opportunity. Excuse me. To have you tee up. I'll ask my IT guy to have you tee up if you want a little bit of that. Do you have a couple minutes of that tape you had that you sent me, or is that 7 minutes? How long is that little intro about the retreat that you'd have that you sent me?
I have one that's a minute. It's like a minute.
All right, let's go to commercial, and we'll see if IT can help us have you share that screen. Get it ready in the next minute or so. We'll see if we can bring it on afterwards, and then you can tell us a little bit about this magic shit that you're up to. Let's go to commercial. Great conversation, and we'll see you on the flip side. Hello, everybody. It's Dr. Fred again. I wanted to explain to you a little bit about one of the names I have called the Undoctor. What is the Undoctor? Well, after about 15 years in the field of me being misaligned with what I was doing, because I was medicating people even knowing that medications were not the right answer, and I was diagnosing people even though I didn't always believe that they had the diagnosis that I said that they had, even though they did meet the criteria, etc. I like seeing humans for exactly who they are and who they're not, and not as a diagnosis. So in 2006, I began the process of becoming the Undoctor. I unmedicated, undiagnosed, and then undoctrinated a bunch of people. Like, people no longer had to come to a psychiatrist because their conditions cleared. This isn't true for everyone. It may not be true for you, but for some folks who know that their diagnosis doesn't fit and who know that they don't want to keep going through with medications and don't want to be seen as someone who's defective or afflicted, this turned out to be a great intervention. Over time, I stopped doing that, and I no longer do a whole lot of conventional psychiatry. Now I just help people walk through their life and find their true voice. I connect with people straight up, not as if there's a power gradient between a doctor and a patient, but it's two humans connecting and resonating with each other. As it turns out, that's where all healing emanates from. So today, I've developed the Welcome to Humanity brand over the last 6 or 7 years, and that really takes into consideration all of this. It is self-explanatory. Basically, each and every experience that we have with humanity is just as exquisite as another, even if it's deeper to come. From there, we get to actually share these human experiences. From there, we get to resonate and connect. And from there, healing takes place. I also have been helping people with their true voice, and that's why you're here today at True Voice with Dr. Fred. I help people find that true voice, really their authentic self, their core value system, and then deliver it effectively into a world that is eagerly awaiting to hear you. Without your voice, no one will ever hear you. And without your true voice, no one will ever know you. But with your true voice, you can find healing, peace, and love. True voice is what it takes to end all wars. So welcome to True Voice with Dr. Fred. Welcome back to True Voice with Dr. Fred. Someone's echoing. So welcome back to True Voice. And we have a great guest here today. We have somebody who's really got just a terrific amount of energy and is here to make a difference. And Lord knows he's already manifesting that difference. And that, you know, I don't know, Sam, I find myself just so always so attracted to people who have been way deep on the dark side, you know, way deep, just like chasing themselves and having the world chase them and, you know, just surviving and somehow creating what appears to be excitement, but it isn't really excitement. It's more kind of, you know, like dopamine bump after bump after bump after bump. And just to avoid getting entirely like deathly exhausted, all you can do is slam another bump, slam another bump, slam another bump, slam another bump, slam another bump. And, you know, and then you just do that for days, weeks, years, you know, and then it's true. I know for me, when I was living a life at least similar to that, this idea of really not knowing when it's going on, that I was anywhere near something called a rock bottom. It's like, I don't have time to be thinking about any rock bottom. All I really have is the next bump. I mean, that's all I really have, because having the next bump is somehow seems less risky than stopping, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I'll add to that. And I think that, you know, part of what is intriguing about this conversation is this is no different than what everyone's doing, really.
Yeah. Right.
You know? Dash might have a slightly more extreme version than the average, but you know, everyone is just chasing that dopamine bump. You know, that's what is happening constantly. People not really aligned with any sort of genuine direction in their lives.
You're still echoing somehow, Dash. You got two devices or something?
No. I'm putting it on me. I shut my phone down. So.
All right. Go ahead.
Anyway, Sam. Yeah. You know, just sort of this, I think this is, I look around and I see so many people in this same situation, except, you know, maybe not quite as extreme, but they're still just chasing the dopamine bump with no real direction in life. Or they might think that they have a direction in life, but the direction is just a more superficial desire for something, for status, for money, whatever, for the next high, for the next whatever it is, versus something that is actually coming from a deeper and more aligned place. And, you know, Dash, I think part of what you're speaking to, Fred, about, you know, you're really attracted to this type of situation is it brings this conversation into a hyper focus, a high resolution, when we can have a discussion with someone like Dash, who's had such a relatively extreme version of it. It's just a very extreme version of what the majority of people are dealing with on some level.
I love that. Exactly. Dash, we're going to give the mic back to you. I'd love to hear a little bit more about Sam's assuming, and he's assuming correctly, that you now have a whole new level of alignment, that your addiction, if you will, has manifested or transmuted or alchemized into something that's actually really useful and really constructive and making a huge difference. And I know you have a little video that maybe you can show us first. Let's hope that the technology works. And then you could talk a little bit about what this new retreat or relatively new retreat project is about, how long you've been doing it, and what you're looking for the next one and the ones coming in the future. How does that sound?
That sounds great. The video is like a little prelude to the retreat. So you want me to play that now or work up to it?
You can. Why don't we work up to it if that's what you'd rather do? Let's talk a little bit about how you got to be what you got to be here. And it sounds great. Like that 2006 was a real big turning point, and then you started seeing that this is something you could or should or had to do, and talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, 100%. So 2006, even though I had gone through the Gamblers Anonymous program and I had that, in 2006, I was probably like, I don't know, I was 8 years clean from gambling, but I was still participating in all these drugs and everything and still chasing every dollar down and involved in this lawsuit and attracted to drama. And I was just, I felt trapped. And I realized at some point, I actually am the one who trapped myself. Like nobody else did it. It was me. I got involved in all these things. And then I felt I couldn't sell the business because I was involved in this lawsuit. And, you know, I can't pay my legal bills because we're not making enough money. So just on and on and on. And, I went to the retreat, I worked that program, and then I just kept going back to retreats. And I learned a little bit more from different people teaching different things. Not everything landed with me right away, but I took a little bit from everything. And then I was finally at a point in this lawsuit that, because this took over my life for 6 years, that I didn't care if I won or lost anymore. I just wanted it out. I wanted out. I wanted to start my life over. And so I basically went to trial, and then we ended up settling the lawsuit. And this lawsuit cost me $1 million. So $1 million in legal fees for my own attorneys. All the money I had worked my whole life for that I had saved was gone. That was in my bank account, gone. And the whole lawsuit was over $350,000, which is what we ended up settling for 6 years later. I mean, just think about that. It took me $1 million and 6 years of my life to end up at the same place I was at 6 years prior. So luckily my mindset had changed at that point. And I didn't care about the money. I just cared about being a better person, continuing to move forward, starting my life over, and sharing the things that worked for me with others so that other people didn't have to go through the pain and agony that I went through. I like to tell people I'm an expert in how not to do shit. And if you can teach people how not to do shit, then they can learn how to do shit. So, so that's part of what I feel I bring to the world. So after I did all that, I decided to write a book, and I wrote a book called Chasing the High right here. Boom, little cheap plug, Chasing the High on Amazon and Audible. It's really an entrepreneur's mindset through addiction, lawsuits, and my journey to the edge. And it talks about some of the things we talked about here, but really gets into some really, really stories that, like, I can't even believe I did some of the things I did and got away with them. Very fortunate and unfortunate at the same time, because it took me a little bit longer to learn than it would others. So I started coaching at that point. I was coaching other CEOs, and my focus was, like, I wanted to help my former self. I knew what other CEOs are going through. I was around them a lot. I went through it. Like, you're so stressed out. You have so many things going on in your business and then your personal life that you have no time for yourself. You're thinking about payroll and your clients and delivering and, you know, taxes and lawyers and accountants. Like, you have no time for anything else. So you drink, or you get high, or you go to strip clubs, or you do whatever it is so that you can escape. And who are you escaping? You're escaping yourself. So knowing and seeing so many of my friends act the way I was acting, and we did it together for a while, I decided to start focusing on coaching and helping other entrepreneurs, or coaching and helping my former self. And that's when we started this activated.life brand, which I co-founded with a friend of mine, Parveen Panwar. And it's really all about mental health within the entrepreneur space. And we're focusing on this area. And then I started running retreats, because I had been to so many retreats. I know how to run retreats. And I love throwing, like, parties, and I love pulling different pieces in. And retreat's not a party, but it's like, it's, you have to take people through an emotional ride over a 5 or 6 day period of time, right? There's elements of different things you bring into it, and introduce different modalities that people can incorporate into their lives to live a healthier life and to keep more mentally stable, and to understand not to let their emotions drive how they run their business and run their life. Because that was it for me. I mean, when people always say the age old question, what would you tell your former self, you know, your younger self, what would it would be, don't make emotional decisions. And I mean, that's easier said than done, but it's a practice. And when you get good at it, your life will change. Because it's not only in business, it's in your personal life too, with your spouse, you know, with anything. And what I recognized is that I was reacting emotionally to all these different events or circumstances that would occur in my life, but the events and the circumstances have no feelings whatsoever. They're a set of facts that are, and we get the choice of how we react to them. And reacting negatively to them doesn't affect them. It's still the same thing. It only affects us. And once I was able to recognize that, I was able to lower my anger, my animosity, my being, like, fueled up, my revenge, the revenge little gene that we have in us, right? Like, all these things, I was able to, like, kind of, like, they're very, very minimal in my life now. Like, it's very hard for me to get upset long term, right? I mean, if I get angry, I feel it, but it passes very quickly. Now, I allow myself to feel it. I think it's very important. You have to feel it, but you don't have to react to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure how I got off on that tangent, but
well, let's go. Let's bring up this video. Let's see the new you. I was I love this video. It's very well done, and it kind of shows a little bit more of what a man like you can do.
All right. Let me know if it's coming through.
No sound yet.
No sound.
No sound.
Beautiful image. No sound.
Community leaders who are consistently serving others and underserving themselves.
Start from the beginning, Mike.
Get generous with physical and mental health.
Hmm. Well, the images are cool as hell.
Just keep it running.
Yeah, so thank you for allowing me to play that. That is in 1 minute, basically what I am passionate about every day I wake up. Creating these type of experiences for entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, leaders, executives who are consistently serving others and underserving themselves. Because that's what I did for my entire life. So I transitioned into the retreat space. And I've been running retreats now, and I'm focused on opening a retreat center so that we not only are providing this type of medicine, and I call this medicine. It's not any plant. It's not any drug, but it is medicine. Breathwork's medicine. Cold plunges are medicine. Meditation is medicine. Like all of these things, yoga is medicine. All these things are medicine. They're different types of medicine, but they're medicine. Hopefully the doctor signs off on that definition. But, that for me is what will transform lives of people who I see living in the matrix. And it's not that they don't want to like be conscious. It's that they don't know how to be conscious. Because they're running around all day doing 100 things that they don't need to be doing. It's not that they don't want to be healthier. It's that they don't know how to be healthier. Right?
Yeah, I think you make a good point. Is that they don't actually recognize that there's anything but the life that they've been living. So when your whole world is that world, you can't see outside of that lens. It's just impossible to see outside of that lens.
I couldn't. I mean, you think they teach meditation in New Jersey? I mean, no. They're like, get into the city and go bust your ass and make money and get ahead of the next guy or the next woman or whatever it is. And, I didn't know about any of this stuff. And, now some of these practices are more mainstream, but even though they're more mainstream, like the majority of people are, it's foreign to. And that's what I'm trying to reach.
What would you say to someone who is hearing all of this and who says, man, I can't be soft. I can't be open. I see these images of your video of these people opening up to each other and hugging each other and having these transformative experiences. I can't be soft. I can't be open. I can't be vulnerable. That's not me. I've got to maintain my edge. My edge is important to me. You know, my boundaries are important to me. What would you say to someone who gave you that defense?
Well, I mean, I first would say, are you interested in evolving as a human being? That's what I would ask them. And if you're not interested in evolving, then I'm talking to the wrong person. All right. If you are interested in revolving, the story you're telling yourself, you are programming yourself to believe that is not actually true, but you've told yourself this story so many times that you believe there is no other version of you except that version. You don't lose. I'm sorry.
I said, well said.
Yeah. Like you don't lose your edge by evolving yourself. You actually gain a different type of edge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, what's interesting in the world of manifestation, Sam, I wonder what you think about this. By the time that anyone is having a conversation with Michael about whether or not they're appropriate for this program, they are. Because when you're bouncing down on the rock bottom, when your next cocaine bump or GHB bump or gambling bump is all that's there to be had, you know, your next sex bump or your next alcohol bump or your next whatever bump is there to be had, then Michael Dash isn't showing up in your life manifested.
So let's speak to that. Let's speak to that, because is there a potential person who might be interested in what you're offering, but they're actually so far in, they're so deep in the space of addiction or whatever it is, that they actually need something that's an intermediate step between where they're at and what you're offering with this retreat?
Yeah, absolutely. But just to be clear, I'm not focused on addiction, like people with addiction. Mm-hmm. Even though I have a past in addiction, right? I'm not an addiction specialist. I have a lot of experience I can share. I'm focused on the more of the leader, right? Mm-hmm. Who's leading from a place of lack, from a place of greed, from a place of what are some other adjectives I could use, but just from the leader who's not connected to who they are, but they're leading all these other people. And if they're not connected to who they are, then they're not fulfilling the potential they have as a leader. Mm-hmm. I'm the perfect example because I ran a company, but I was an asshole. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't have any tools with me and all I cared about is money and all the other things I discussed. So there's plenty of people in my life from my former life that I'm still friends with, I'm still connected with, not drugs, alcohol and like addiction stuff that are still in addiction, but more people who still, they'll drink, they'll do these things. They're entrepreneurs, they're super successful. They're not happy. I'm still trying to chip away at them and get them to come to the retreat. Because I know it'll transform them, because I've had to literally tell people, listen, you got, like, begging them to come to the retreat, because people will find every excuse not to invest in themselves. They'll find easy excuses to invest in their company, easy excuses to invest in vacations, easy excuses to invest in a new car. But when it comes to investing in their own personal development, they'll find every excuse why they can't do it versus looking for the reasons why they can do it. So I go through this with a lot of people. They come to the retreat, they thank me. They stand up in front of the group and they say, this just happened in the last retreat. Like, I'm really embarrassed to say this. Michael forced me to come to this retreat. I didn't force him, but this is what they say. I forced him to come to this retreat. I paid for it and I wasn't coming. I was canceling a week before the retreat and he called me every day for a week till I got on the plane, and I can't believe I ever questioned him. Mm-hmm. Michael, for the next retreat.
I got this. So I got a big surprise for you here. We're about to play it for you. And I think it fits right in here right now. Shows typically end at the top of the hour. Tech has given us an extra few minutes. Tech has given us an extra few minutes to get this done because there's no one coming in right after us. And go ahead, Tech. We're ready to roll.
Hi, my name is Michael Dash, and welcome to the Activated Retreat 2022.
Incredible, magical retreats. This is actually my first retreat. What I envisioned, it's so much more than that. And it's just been an incredible experience for both my husband and I. I think it's even brought us closer. It's created more of a connection, a spiritual connection between us. And I'm very thankful that Michael Dash invited me.
I think that we shy away a lot of time as humans from conflict. And in this retreat, it's been really great to see conflict happening and also the conflict resolution happening from a place of love and understanding and empathy. So that's been very powerful for me in how I go through my life and seeing like where I'm not really communicating and where I can be more open about how I'm really feeling. And I think that's been the most powerful takeaway for me in the retreat.
It turned into a very physical experience for me where I was working through a lot of pain in my physical body, which I wasn't expecting. Like, usually I'll come to retreats and it's very emotional and crying and whatnot, but this became very physical, and it started with the ice bath, which was a big breakthrough for me because I'm historically very, me and cold don't really go together. And the minute I got into that bath brought up a lot of fear and a lot of pain that I wasn't expecting. And being able to stay in the ice bath with people around me and like Gregorio and Julie just holding the space for me was a really big breakthrough for me. Then it just translated into I can handle anything.
We did an activity where we did a walking meditation along the beach. When you're breathing and you're taking in, and you're focusing on your body enough, allow me to feel at one with myself, with all the people throughout history, you know, good and bad. I felt forgiveness and understanding for myself and for everyone in that moment. It seems like when the body's in like a different situation, a different scenario, like the mind and the emotions follow that. That's why I think it's really important to lead with the physical.
The jungle, like the set and setting of this whole adventure, has been amazing for one, but really where the magic came in was the content. You know, all the speakers, everything that Michael organized and the way he organized it led to so much growth and connection over these past week. You know, it's been really amazing.
The blindfolded dinner, that touched my heart the most because it was so awesome to see so many people in a mode of play and connection with straight people they didn't know 4 days ago. Most of the people didn't know here. So people they didn't know 3-4 days ago, feeding each other in an intimate way. there was just such a high level of play. Again, I feel like was really special to be a part of, and really, really rare. You don't see that a whole lot. It's not celebrated. So our heart was full to be a part of that experience.
But there is a peace in each person that is reflected in Michael that attracts each person. And therefore, we all have a commonality that bonds us immediately. Everyone was so friendly and welcoming and open and vulnerable that it just gave me that environment to do the same and really dive deep into where I still have wounds that needed healing that I wasn't even aware of. And also to look at where I'm really playing small in the world and where I could be so much more. And there's so much more in my heart that needs to come out. And there's so much more that I'm capable of. And this retreat, the Get Activated Retreat with Michael Dash, did that for me.
Coming here has been one of the most life-changing experiences I've ever had. I've learned so much about myself and the things that I need to overcome, and also some of the bullshit stories that I've been telling myself for years that I need to recreate. But I've had so many amazing connections that have been made here. I never imagined I would meet so many beautiful, spirited, entrepreneurial, just people that are making huge impacts on this earth. And to know that I get to be forever connected to them is one of the most beautiful things I could have ever asked for.
The Activated Retreat is specifically designed for entrepreneurs, business leaders, community leaders who are consistently serving others and underserving themselves. We address the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual practices of these leaders, integrating a variety of activities into their lives so that whatever lands with them, whatever fulfills them, whatever recharges them, they can take back to their communities and live at their highest vibration, at their highest potential. This will allow all leaders to run their business from a healthier place, to run their lives from a more balanced position, and to be activated at all times. So join us at the next Activated Retreat, where you will meet amazing leaders from around the world, and we will reset the way you approach your lives.
Michael,
beautiful work, Michael.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for showing that. It's like, I feel like I was there. Got a good choreographer.
Yeah. Well, yeah, give us a minute or two of what that feels like to watch that and to watch, you know, to know that you're watching it with the collective of, you know, hundreds or, you know, if Sam and I ever get more than 10 viewers, we're going to be lucky. But, you know, if we get 11th, 12th viewer in you, that'll be 13 altogether. And what do you think about, what do you think when you watch this from the outside? Who are you? Who are you, Michael?
I'm whoever I want to be. And I am here to, well, first of all, I am activated as fuck. Okay. I'm activated. That activates me. Right. And knowing that how beneficial that would have been for me when I was an entrepreneur, when I was going through all my stuff, and seeing that it's transformed people's lives that I know that I like care deeply about, allows me to feel, or excuse me, not feel, allows me to know that this is my destiny and that this is what I was put, all the things I went through led up to this point to be leading leaders, not just people, leading leaders, right? So that they can be better leaders themselves and don't have to go through as much struggle as I had to go through. Mm-hmm. And to build a supportive community throughout, A lot of these people are friends. Two of these people are doing the El Camino walk right now. They just met 3 months ago on my retreat. Now they're doing a month-long walk together in Spain. Every day, walking 20-something miles. Three of the other people, they started a nonprofit for formerly incarcerated. I mean, they didn't know each other before the retreat. So, yeah, it really invigorates me. I'm probably going to make a couple sales calls now and get some more people into my retreat in December.
I love it. I love it. Michael, thank you so much for being here. It's just amazing. What a great transformation. What a very cool story. And to Sam's point, you know, in some ways you're every man and you just have this highly dramatic, highly fascinating, gripping story that allows you to go from where you've been to where you are and now be delivering. And it's just an honor to know you and to watch you and to be inspired by you. I'm going to let the closing statements go to Sam here. And I love you and I love what you're up to. Thank you so much for being on our show tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah, deep appreciation for you, Michael, and everything that you've done to turn the pain into purpose and everything.
Turn off your sound, Michael. Turn off your sound, Michael.
I was just saying deep appreciation to you for your resilience, your ability to turn pain into purpose and everything that you're doing to awaken and activate other leaders to help them have a more fulfilling and beautiful journey here on earth. And it's a beautiful sight to behold. I really, that video is incredible. I actually happen to know Ollie Gabriel, so that was cool seeing him pop up in there. And yeah, just keep up doing the great work, man.
Cool. I appreciate that, Sam. And Ollie's one of the guys doing the El Camino. So
oh, nice.
You can follow him online. And if anybody's interested in learning more about the retreat, you know, I guess you guys will have the notes, but they can contact me on Instagram at MDASH1. And I'm sure you'll have other ways for them to get to me.
No, go ahead and give us a scoop out loud. Go ahead. You don't have to, don't count on my show notes. They're not always perfect.
Okay. Yeah. Or you could just shoot me an email at michael@michaelg-, that's all spelled out, michaelgdash.com. So that's michael@michaelg-.com or on Instagram at MDASH1.
Awesome. Michael, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, been a deep pleasure. It's great to have met you at this perfect time in our lives, and we will certainly catch you soon. Sam, as always, thanks for being my co-host and hold me up when I don't have anything else to say. I love you both, and we'll catch you on the flip side. Bye for now.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Hello, everybody, and I just wanted to thank you for getting through another episode of True Voice with Dr. Fred. Wasn't that great? It is so much fun to interact with people and then interact with my listenership about really finding True Voice and then bringing it forward. I really have never done anything more important than this, and I'm finally aligned with myself by helping others find their True Voice. Let's find your alignment. What do you really want in your life?